Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message that has really stirred my heart, and I hope yours if you've had an opportunity to listen, and that is the precious blood of Jesus. We don't hear a lot about that today, but, beloved, I believe the blood was, I'm just getting revelation, even as I share with you, there was so much emphasis placed on the sacrificial offerings. That was the whole basis of the Old Covenant. And there was an elaborate system of bringing all kinds of different offerings to the Lord. And on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go once a year, and that would cleanse the people, if you will, or at least not cleanse, but cover. Excuse me there, because there is a great distinction. It would cover their sins for a year, and that God would honor their obedience. But thank God for Jesus. When He came, He brought in a new covenant, and His blood was shed once and for all time. He'll never have to go to the cross and die again. But beloved, as God's people, we need to have a greater and greater understanding and appreciation for what He did. I know I've read so many of these scriptures, but now they have a new meaning and a new significance and light. In Hebrews 13 and 20, it talks about the blood of the everlasting covenant. That is, through the precious blood of Jesus, the water and blood that flowed from His side, the literal physical blood of Jesus combined with the water signifying the Holy Spirit, It says also that these, I'm thinking of that scripture that I shared on yesterday's broadcast, the water and the blood that testify, these three bear witness in the earth, and that was the blood and the water and the Spirit of God. Praise God. Beloved, the devil knows his time is short, and we are fighting an adversary that we must not make light of. He goes about, scriptures say, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he is an adversary that has been around since before the beginning of man. And he knows mankind very well. He knows our frame, and he's a formidable foe. You know, I've been in some services where preachers have said, well, just come on, devil. You know, they're just sort of egging him on. It's like, oh, I don't think I'd want to do that. We have enough issues as it is without asking for invitation. And I'm sure they meant well, because we do have authority and power in Jesus Christ, but we have to understand we are facing a very serious foe. Beloved, when we see what is happening in our nation, around the world, we can see the effects of His handiwork. We see men that are just walking in all manner of perversity and violence and crime and war and bloodshed, terrible, terrible situations in the various nations of the world. And so we realize that it's not only the sin nature of man, but Satan does all he can to stir that up. And so we have to understand we have a serious adversary. We don't have to be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And as we walk in obedience to God and His Word, we don't have anything to fear. But we must not make the mistake of making light of the adversary, because let me share a scripture found in Jude. Now, I'm sure you've heard about Michael the archangel. Well, he is one of the most glorious, most powerful of the archangels that are mentioned by name in scripture. And in Jude, the 9th verse, it says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation." In other words, what he said was, "The Lord rebuke thee." And he knew Satan before he fell. He knew that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was respecting actually his position. And so he said, "The Lord rebuke thee," because God created him as a marvelous being. And so all those faculties that he had when he was obeying God before he got lifted up by pride, he has the ability. Now, I'm not sharing these things to instill fear in you, but to make you realize we have an enemy. And I think one of the tricks of the enemy is to make us think that he's really not there, that he's really not much to contend with. If you've walked with the Lord along many years, you're loving God and you're doing what God has called you to do. And sometimes we just look at the battles, the hindrances that we go through, and not realize the aspect of spiritual warfare. So that's why I'm taking the time to share what I'm doing, not to instill fear, because that's an attack of the enemy. That's a dart of the enemy to just to weaken you and make you immobile. Because that shield of faith, beloved, if you'll hear the word of the Lord and you'll believe what he tells us, that shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, what I would like to do is spend some time on the principle of protection, the purpose of the blood. Remember that in the Passover time, when it was originally instituted in Egypt, God was ready to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. A destroying angel was going to come to bring the 10th and most dreadful plague upon the Egyptians, the death of their firstborn, that they would be spared from the destroying angel only if they obeyed what Moses told them from by the word of the Lord. And that was to sacrifice an unblemished lamb and place its natural blood upon the lintels. That was an important thing. And then also we see that in the book of Joshua, there was a type, if you will, of the precious blood. And I want to read Joshua, the second chapter, verses 18. Well, no, I think I better start reading at verse 17. These were the spies that came in to spy out Jericho. And the men said unto her, this was to Rahab, "We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." So basically, we see that in this passage in Joshua, the blood again was a sign for Rahab, who was sort of symbolic of the Gentiles. Protection was being extended to her, that she had to have her family inside the house and to obey their word, which is to put out the scarlet thread. The same thing with the children of Israel. If they had to bring their family within the doors of the house and put the blood over the doors, and they would be spared. So this is a principle of divine protection. If that's true, we see that in the Old Covenant, how much truer it is under the New Covenant, because this is the blood of Jesus, of much better promises. And God, beloved, will keep his promise to all those who act in faith. Not one person was harmed. Think about that. No one of all of Israel, as they waited before the Lord and they were obedient, they had that Passover meal, not one of them was harmed. And also with Rahab and her entire household, they were spared. They were not killed by the invading Israelite army. When they blew on the seventh day that trumpet, the walls came down and they literally destroyed. That was that city, its inhabitants were devoted to destruction. But what did they have to do? They had to, in the case of the Passover, they had to sprinkle the blood And secondly, they had to keep in back of the bloodline. This gave them peace, strength, and divine deliverance. Now, in 1 Peter, listen to what the apostle says in the first chapter, verse 2. And Christians, of course, they are being described by this apostle as elect unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, I think I should read that entire scripture. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on with his greeting, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So there we are sanctified through the Spirit, and again, it's through the Spirit and the blood of Jesus. Praise God. And so, beloved, we can rest with the assurance that God will keep his promise, that we don't have to be fearful, we don't have to be anxious, that as I've just shared from these scriptures, it's evident that obedience and sprinkling are intermingled. And so whatever the needs might be in your life right now, there might be nagging worries or anxieties, you might be facing some dreadful news, you really are combating fear, you might have a nerve-wracking environment at home or on the job. Whatever that spiritually debilitating experience is, the eternal Spirit through the blood of Jesus is the great deliverer. Both in Egypt and in Jericho, the blood was token to be displayed when help was needed, or else help wouldn't be given. And if they would have just believed, that everyone would have been spared, and those that obeyed did. Just think. If Rahab didn't take, if she didn't follow through, she would have been destroyed along with her household. So they had to take action or all would be lost. And beloved, we need to avail ourselves of the precious blood of Jesus to attain that same kind of victory, to have protection and deliverance from all the fearful attacks that the enemy would bring against us. Well, my time has flown by, and I'm going to continue this on our next broadcast. I invite you to tune in. But until then, if you have prayer needs, I'm here for you. I love you, and the announcer will give our contact information. God bless you. Until next time, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,